Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter reminds us that we all have expectations. We have expectations of ourselves. We have expectations of other people. We have expectations of the way that we think things should go in our lives and in the lives of others and in the world. And some of those expectations are realistic and they are reasonable, while others are unrealistic and unreasonable and even foolish at times. But what we do know is this. Our expectations, whether they are right or wrong, affect the way that we live. We live according to our expectations. And for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, our expectation, our hope, is that someday the clock will stop ticking. Time will cease. And we will be home with the Lord forever. And it is this expectation that affects the way that we think, doesn't it? It affects the way that we speak. It affects the way that we live. And it is also this expectation that keeps us going despite the difficulties in this life. We love our Lord, so even in our failures, we desire to please him in all things. Because we know that the day is fast approaching when everything in this world will be gone and we will stand before the Lord of glory in heaven forever. Well, that certainly is a sobering thought, isn't it? In fact, it is a motivating expectation. But Peter also points out that in these last days, before the return of Jesus to this earth, many people will ridicule us for our perspective, for our expectation of his return. And some of those people are found outside of the church. But sadly, others are found within the church. Why? Why is this? Well, it is because they are all too busy. They are all too preoccupied, following after their own passions, after their own desires to take the word of God seriously. And so they say this, Peter tells us. Where is the fulfillment of his promise? The promise that Christ will return to this earth. Things continue on just as they have always gone on since the beginning of time. The sun rises and it sets as it always has since the beginning of creation. But Peter reminds us that they ignore one important fact. They ignore the word of God. They ignore the book of Genesis. It escapes their thinking that because of their wickedness, the people in this world in the days of Noah drowned in a flood, in a cataclysmic deluge. A catastrophic event that covered the entire earth. And only one man, a man named Noah, and his family escaped the judgment of God, along with a boatload of animals. Only they survived. And so Peter asks this question. Why is it so unreasonable then to think that God will not judge the world again, seeing the wickedness of this present age? It's a good question. In the days of Noah, the people were warned over and over again. And yes, over and over again, they chose to ignore that warning. Sounds a little like today, doesn't it? But despite their unbelief, and despite their ridicule, the day of the flood came upon them. The flood in the book of Genesis is, in fact, the evidence that those who do not believe the word of God, those who do not believe the work of Christ for our salvation, who is the ark of our safety, they will be condemned forever. The account of the flood in Genesis chapter 7 is the unmistakable historical record of how God deals with unrepentant sinners, of how he deals with those who reject his offer of salvation through Christ. And Noah did what we all must do. He rejected the thinking. He rejected the perspective of this world, and he embraced the perspective of God. So now, it says in verse 6, here is how it all happened. Noah was 600 years old on the day of the flood, when that flood of water came upon all of the earth. Hayah in Hebrew, when it fell upon everyone and everything. So why does God tell us how old Noah was? Why does he tell us he was 600 years old? Well, because this was a specific event that took place at a specific time in the life of Noah and in the history of the world. It is a fact. It is a fact that is recorded in the course of time. It took place in a moment of time. Time was running out, wasn't it, for the people in this world? So it says in verse 7, Noah and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him, they all entered the ark. Because they all believed what Noah had been preaching for 120 years. Well, that's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to us, isn't it? Don't stop preaching. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop living for Christ. There will be those, even with us, among our family, who will come to the Lord. They believed that the water of the flood was about to drown the people of this earth. And then, we are told, God caused a miracle to take place. The animals on the earth, the birds of the air, from wherever they were, from near and from far, clean animals, animals that were suitable for sacrifice, and animals that were not for sacrifice. They came from every corner of the earth. Also the birds of every kind and everything that creeps on the ground as well. They all went into the ark. They went to Noah, just as God had commanded Noah. And so it came about, we're told in verse 10, that after 7 days, 7 days more, as God graciously waited just a little bit longer, a little bit longer, to give the people in this world one last opportunity to enter the ark, that he finally did what he said that he would do. And it says the water of the flood came upon all of the earth. And though we do not know what kind of calendar the people used in those days, the exact time of the beginning of the flood is given to us in verse 11 as the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month. The exact time, the exact day, the exact moment when all of the fountains, Mayan in Hebrew, all of the springs of water in the depths of the ocean and beneath the land burst open, Bacheh in Hebrew, the rocks split wide open and the crust of the earth shifted in a great upheaval, perhaps because of volcanic activity or earthquakes that took place deep within the earth, which would have shifted entire land masses and would have redefined the geography, would have redefined the topography of the earth. Picture it. As water mixed with fire and with steam and with dust and with mud and with ash, and it all poured out of the earth and into the air. That certainly would have been a terrifying sight, wouldn't it? And in addition to that, we are told, the floodgates, Arubah in Hebrew, the windows of the sky were also open, and the rain fell. It poured down from the heavens onto the earth. And as you might expect, there was nowhere to run for the people. There was nowhere to hide. And this fearful deluge continued for 40 days and, you guessed it, for 40 nights. It was nonstop. And on that very day, we're told in verse 13, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, who were the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, they all entered into the ark, along with every beast of its kind and all the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. They all went into the ark. And again, it says in verse 15, they went to Noah by twos, all flesh of the earth in which there was the breath of life. They entered the ark by twos, male and female, of all flesh that entered the ark, just as God had commanded Noah. And in repeating these words over and over again to us, what is God saying to us? Everything unfolded according to the plan of God, a plan that Noah followed, events that really took place in the course of time. And once they were all safely inside of the ark, we are told the Lord himself closed the door. Pethah in Hebrew, it says in Genesis 6:16. He tightly shut the entrance way to the ark behind all of those who were to be saved. Be'ad in Hebrew, an amazing word. He shut it on behalf of Noah. He shut it on behalf of his family. He shut it on behalf of all of those animals on the day of the flood. So what can we learn from this account? Well, we learn that judgment is coming. We learn that there is an opportunity to be saved. And we learn we must not miss that opportunity, perhaps our final opportunity, to be saved through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.